The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Thanks, Chris and team. Delight to be able to have the privilege this morning of sharing with you. And particularly as we sang there and just finished up, my delight is to give you praise, to speak into this area of how we have the privilege of being able to honour God and be able to share Him with others. And oftentimes we find that a bit of a burden. Oftentimes we feel that's something we have to do instead of it just being the overflow of our lives. And I'm delighted I have a team here with me this morning just to help me share with you a little as we journey our way through, and want to encourage you in this whole area of relational, Christ-centered evangelism. It's a value that we hold very dearly. And what do we mean by relational? Well, we're talking about our relationship with Jesus first and foremost. Then we're talking about the horizontal aspect of that. That's the vertical aspect. But the horizontal aspect of that is our relationships with people, wherever God has us planted. And I want to remind you of something we learned a few years ago with Keith Farmer. But as I've looked at the language, it's very interesting in the Greek language how this is phrased for us. And you've heard me say through the years, sometimes it's difficult for us to capture the syntax or the fuller meaning of something from an original language. Our English language is somewhat limited. Now, you remember that they translated the Amplified Bible? Do you remember? Any of you seen an Amplified Bible? Well, you'll notice that an Amplified Bible is much bigger than your normal Bible. And that's because they're trying to get across all the extra stuff. And even they have limited it. And so often we have one word and the Greeks might have five words on a particular topic. And so I want you to look at the great commission that Jesus gave us with new, fresh eyes. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and actually it's as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, I want you to notice something here. There's only one thing that is actually commanded. When I grew up, I thought it was go. All right? That's what I thought we were commanded to do, was go. Well, the reality is we all go. We're all going all of the time into our world. Right? So what Jesus is actually saying, he's saying, as you go into your world, make disciples. The command is make disciples. In actual fact, nowhere are we commanded to do evangelism. It's actually just an overflow of who we are in Jesus. And the real command for us as Christ followers is to make disciples. Help people follow Christ. Help them grow in their journey and their relationship with Jesus. So when we're talking about relational, Christ-centered evangelism, we're saying as you go, in your going, make disciples. In your going, as you live in your home, as you live in the broader family context, as you live in your community, as you go to our, as we go to our places of work, and as we interact with people, wherever it might be, the privilege is, as you go, Jesus is with you. I'm with you. I'm with you till the end of time. So he comes with us to help us, in our going, make disciples. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now there's something else. We don't have to do the evangelism. In our going, all we need to do is live for Jesus. We don't bring anybody to Jesus. He's the only one who does that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to draw people to himself. That's not something we do. We're just faithful. We're just in relationship with Jesus. He chooses us And he blows the alarm to get people's attention. And the Holy Spirit gets their attention, and before soon they're in relationship with him. And someone's gone where someone shouldn't have gone. And now we're all right. Okay, now the other week I was coming to church, and I encountered somebody on the way to church. And it was an interesting experience. G'day, you've got a bit of a problem. Nice car, but something's wrong.
Thanks, it just doesn't go anymore. I don't know what's wrong. I've got no tools. I've got no idea. Just stopped.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm happy to have a look at it for you if you like.
Oh, thanks. But look, I don't want to hold you up. I can phone the RAC.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay.
But look, you look as though you've got somewhere important to go. I really don't want to hold you up.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, you noticed. I'm actually on my way to church, but that's okay. I'm still happy to help.
Did you say church?
Yeah.
Look, don't come at me with stuff about God and Jesus. Not today. I couldn't cope. It'd be the last straw. Please, leave it alone. Don't go there.
Okay, no problem. But I'm happy to look at your car. There's no worries.
Yeah, right, okay.
Let me see what I can do.
Okay.
Jane, he's only trying to help.
See, friends, you don't have to move every person in gigantic steps towards the cross and towards Jesus. You offer to help, and you'll find people that are very, very resistant. That's okay. All right? Just love them and do whatever you can to help. And I've not seen that lady since. Hope I do, but I haven't seen her since. We'll see where things go. But the reality is, when you push, when you argue, you actually turn people away rather than attract them. Relationship is the key. Maintaining relationship and being positive in a person's life. Now that was, it's a little bit different to the encounter that I had when I was in the UK. A number of years ago, I was involved in a ministry with some international leaders, and we were looking at motivating and helping motivate the church in mission. And I was staying in a home, had to walk through an estate every day to go to these meetings in a little hall. And every day I walked past the pond. G'day, you're here again. You were here yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah, I've seen you a couple of times.
I noticed that you're fishing. What are you catching?
We catch carp. We catch the biters and then chuck them back in.
You what?
We
throw. Here's an opportunity, John.
That's interesting. In Australia, I suppose you can do it for free.
No, you pay for it.
You pay for it?
Yeah.
You pay for the privilege of catching a fish, having a look at it, and throwing it back in.
And you say it's big.
You enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. Where are you off to?
I'm actually going across the other side of the park, and that's why I was wandering through from here, going across to the hall that's attached to the tavern over the other side there in the Cadbury. This is the Cadbury Estate. And so going across the other side. Hmm.
What for?
Well, we got meetings on this week. And a number of us have come from Canada, New Zealand, Australia and the UK, and we're just talking about how we can help turn around some churches and help them grow and plant new ones.
Nice.
Jacob, he seems a decent guy. You should get to know him a bit more.
Oh. You can just imagine the Holy Spirit saying that, can't you? But the reality is, I walked past this young man 7 days in a row. And after that initial connection with him, every day we had a chat, and every day I'd leave a little bit earlier so I could have longer to talk with him before our day began. And it culminated just in us talking about stuff naturally. But his disposition softened over a number of days. And ultimately, on Sunday morning to this little church that met with this tavern, this young man came along to the service, connected with some of the other young people. And I don't know what the end result was, but I certainly know that our friendship grew And he moved incrementally towards discussion, talking about Christ when church Christianity was completely out of his frame of reference. By the way, I think it's only the Brits who would pay to fish and then throw them back in. I was taught that you keep them and eat them. Yeah, I think I've got a few other people agreeing with me. There's another scripture I want to highlight for you, which really is important in terms of relational evangelism. And it's in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. And this scripture says, in your hearts revere, that means set apart. Set apart Christ as your Lord. And always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, or to give an answer to explain the reason for the hope that you have. But it says that we are to do this in a certain type of way. You notice the text, it says do this with gentleness and with respect, so that those who speak maliciously against you will be ashamed of the way they slander you. You see, there's some great insights there. Great insights to us in terms of evangelism. One of the things I want you to notice is that if Jesus is first, then the natural thing is the overflow of your life is that you will just take opportunities as they come in life. I've seen this transformation occur in many a young man's life. They're a bit stoic, you know, they're a typical Aussie bloke. They don't talk about relationships too openly. They're just going through life, and then they meet someone very special who gets their attention. And something actually happens. They will talk about this girl, this woman. They will be open about the relationship. There's a transformation that actually occurs in their journey. You see, when you fall in love, when you grow to commit in love, the attitude towards a person and the way that we will speak about that relationship changes. That's all the scripture says. We love God. We love Jesus, Jesus Christ, because he first loved us. The scripture encourages us to get to know God because God is love. Encourages us to grow in our relationship with him. And as we do, then the overflow is that naturally, we're actually happy to talk about him. And the more you grow in love with Christ, the more readily you will find you are able to speak in simple terms with people. And I always used to think when I grew up that if I was going to do evangelism, I had to speak from Genesis to Revelation, I had to summarise the gospel, and I had to close the deal by getting a person to pray the sinner's prayer. That's not in the Bible. It's actually not in the life of Jesus. In fact, you won't even find a person praying a sinner's prayer anywhere in the Bible. You'll hear them saying certain things. And we've got all of these things that are a part of evangelism, or we were taught, that actually are not biblical. What we're to do is just help a person incrementally get closer to Jesus and play our part. And our part might just be a simple conversation. It might be that we end up praying for somebody, but it's helping them move towards a relationship with Jesus. And you've heard me talk about this, that in our world, in my world, I'm privileged at the moment because of our circumstances changing and all of the demands that are upon us as a couple. I do the shopping. That's part of my commitment. I love it. I go to the shopping, I go to the same store, I've built relationship up with four or five checkout people. And I get to know them over a period of time. And they see me, I smile, they smile, and away we go. And we have a bit of a chat. And we talk. And I've got someone at Carrawarra that I'd like to introduce you to.
Oh, hey, John, how are you going?
G'day, Nicole, good to see you. Sorry, here's my gear. Going really well. Weekend came, of course.
Yeah, you're right. I can't wait to the weekend. I'm hanging out for it.
Okay, what have you got on this weekend?
Well, it's going to be pretty busy, actually. I got a couple of parties, catching up with some friends. It's going to be good.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Don't hold back, John. Share with her about the church.
What are you doing, John, on your weekend?
Interesting. My Saturdays vary, but today's a day where I've got to get with the desk and prepare and do stuff. I talk quite often on a weekend, and I'm talking tomorrow at our church, and I've actually got another talk I've got to give in the afternoon and then another one at night. So I've got three talks to prepare and four talks to give. So it's a full-on weekend. But at least tonight we've got family.
Yeah, well, sounds busy, yeah.
Hey, by the way, do you go to church yourself?
Look, I'll be honest, church isn't for me. It's just not really my scene.
So you've checked it out, have you?
Oh, look, a bit through school, but never out of that.
Oh, man, you don't know what you're missing out on, honestly. We have a place that's got wall-to-wall young people, people your age. They engage almost every night of the week. They're doing different things together. There's something for everyone. And it's really important that we actually consider our relationship with God.
Nicole, you might want to check this out.
I get into trouble when I call them checkout chicks, that's my generation. But it's a super privilege just to help people soften towards a relationship with the church, with God, and with the Lord. And over weeks and sometimes months, the relationship grows and we're able to talk more and more openly about spiritual things. And they're willing to engage. But if you meet resistance, you back off. You don't go where people don't want to go. You do it with gentleness and with respect. It's really important that we keep that principle in mind when we're talking about sharing our faith and talking about Jesus. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you about relational evangelism. Relational evangelism always starts out of our relationship with God. It's always firstly about your relationship with the Lord. So before you talk about Jesus, you need to know the Jesus you're going to talk about. And our encouragement is to be in a deep, growing relationship with God. And we talk about that with one of our other values. But it's important that you're developing the spiritual disciplines and you're growing in your intimacy and your knowledge of Jesus so that you can take the opportunities when God gives them to you, and he will for all of you. But the second thing I want you to notice is that relational evangelism is a process. It's not a one-off event. Disciples are made, not just born. It was a 3.5-year process for the greatest teacher the world has ever seen, for Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight. For people to come to a mature commitment in their journey and their relationship with God. So it's a journey. A lady came to me after the first service. She said, John, thank you so much. She said, I am a seamstress. And she said, I know you start and you've got to take the time to actually make something and bring it all together, bring all the elements together. And it made sense that I can play my part. I always thought I hadn't made disciples because I hadn't led anybody to pray a sinner's prayer. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, but your son is a Christian. Your daughter is a Christian and a leader of a youth ministry. And your other son is committed to Christian ministry. You haven't made disciples? And she teared up. She said, huh? I said, but not only that, what about the ones they're now influencing? What about the ones that come into your home? You see, it's each of us playing our part in the process of making disciples. That's relational evangelism. And we can all do that. We all have different gifts and abilities that we bring to the table that can enable that to happen. Now, something else that you need to understand here, relational evangelism is more about listening than it is about doing. In other words, it's listening to that voice. Doesn't he have a great God voice? Right? Matt, he's got a great God voice. But it's listening to the voice and the prompts that you get from the Holy Spirit. It may be a picture, it may be an image, it may be a need that the Spirit of God said, you can get a fridge, you can do this, you can do that, you can help a person in your sphere of influence. Invite that family over for a meal. Build relationship. Whatever it might be, it's a prompting that comes. and we play our part in the person's journey and hopefully see the people that we're encountering turning more and more towards the cross, more and more to a relationship with Jesus where they become a Christ follower. And the last thing that I want to suggest to you is something very important, and that is relational evangelism is tailor-made for the individual. All right? I want to put this to the test. Turn to somebody near you and just say, if you're a Christ follower, how did you come to know Jesus? All right? Take 2 minutes. Quick. Share as small groups, whatever. If you're a Christ follower, how did you come to know Jesus? Okay. Anyone raise your hand and say you talked to somebody else who came to know Jesus exactly the same way you did. Okay. Just a few. All right. I'm going to suggest too that if we drill down into that, we'll find it was a different relationship or it was a different story or a different set of circumstances that influenced it as well. Can I share with you an insight? You can put this to the test in your own reading. In the New Testament, Jesus never shared the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God, the same way twice. And yet we were raised on the four spiritual laws, or how to know God personally, or the Roman road, or the bridge, or these different things, or evangelism explosion, the two big questions. All right? All of these simple patterns that we were given. And it had to be this way. No, it doesn't. And I have a problem with that. The problem with that is Jesus comes to people right where they are in their context and situation differently. Relational evangelism, stuff we do as we go, just as we do life. And we get relationships with the farmer next door, with the bloke over the road, with the colleague at work. I mean, I know some people here have been journeying with some people 30 years. And they're just starting to see the door open a little bit to talk more about God. That's how it is. And people come differently through taking different steps. Amen? You agree? Oh, you can argue with me later if you don't. All right? Let me give you some examples. Zacchaeus. Hey, come down out of the tree. I've got to have a feed with you today. In the process, Zacchaeus' life is encountered and changed. And he gives away his possessions to the poor. And he follows Jesus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Anyone else that Jesus said you must be born of water and the Spirit to? Only Nicodemus. Only Nicodemus. What about the woman at the well? Woman at the well, great story, the Samaritan woman. Here's a drink that if you drink it, John 4, you'll never be thirsty again. Say that to anybody else. That was in the context of the well. It was in the context of the situation. See, Jesus was just sharing the message simply as they journey. And the last one I got for you this morning, the rich young ruler. Did Jesus say to anyone else when he shared the message of the kingdom, oh, look, first, if you want to be a follower of mine, just sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and you can come follow me. I'm not aware he said that to anybody else. Just to that man whose priorities were skew-whiffed because he loved his things more than he loved God. And his heart was in the wrong place. And he needed to change. You see, God comes to us where we are. And the journey is wonderful. Look up and down the road. Even those of you in the same families that are scattered around here. Do you see anyone that looks just like you? Whew, thank goodness you say. Well, if you're me, you might say that. But the reality is, no one is the same. Our journey is all different. As I say to a young couple that are in love and getting married, I say, just remember now, when you get married, you don't just marry the other person. What do you mean? Oh, you marry their family. Ah. You ever notice that their family's different to your family? Ever notice that values are a little bit different? Cooking's a lot different. All sorts of things are different. The way the toilet paper comes off the roll's different. Oh, off the wall. Not off the roll, but off the wall. You know, the way we squeeze the tube of toothpaste is different. All the silly fights that we have about stuff. The reality is we come with our baggage. Jesus has an ability to meet us all where we're at. Listen to the promptings of God's Spirit. A lady came to me after the first service and she said, John, I think Jesus has been telling me to do such and such, but I don't think I'm good enough. I said, join the club. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, when Jesus called me to preach, I didn't think I was good enough. And when Jesus called me to do something else, I didn't think I was good enough. Moses wasn't good enough. So God gave him Aaron. That's a qualification. It's not a disqualification. Oh, really? Yeah, really. Jesus comes to us with a still small voice, with a conviction that we just need to listen to. And if you act on it, you're playing your part in helping people turn towards the cross. That's relational evangelism. That's something we can all do. That's not hard. It'll just require some little steps of faith. I want to wrap things up for you this morning as we've looked at these simple principles by sharing another encounter that I had a number of years ago. I just need to make a phone call here. I know that this is a $50 fine, but I want to do it anyway. I don't know if I'm getting through to Barry or not. Oh, good.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Barry. Just touching base. Wanted to follow through and chat to you about David's decision to become a Christ follower.
Oh, well, I'm not real happy about it, to be honest with you. And there's no way that I'm going to be encouraging him. That's for sure.
Well, is there anything I can do or say or help you with to change his mind?
No, I just wish you'd leave my family alone. Thank you.
Barry, did you really have to be that hard? You didn't even give him a chance.
I journeyed with Barry remotely for 35 years. Now let me tell you about the journey. Got the full picture at the end of last year. You see, my first three encounters were spread over a number of years. David, as a young man of 16, gave his life to Christ. Dad would never let David follow Jesus easily. He made him wait until he was 18 for him to be baptised because he said, you're an adult, you can make your own decisions from now. So David, just a day after he turned 18, he got baptised. And then I met Barry again, because he never wanted to speak and he made that abundantly clear. I met Barry again at David's 21st. Then Julie and I met him again. He was a little softer when we met him the third time. And this was at David's marriage, at his wedding. And it was a wonderful celebration. He married a beautiful girl and they lived north and today are involved in leadership in one of the churches in the city north of the river. But at his wedding, David and I had an extended conversation and he was quite emotional because he felt he wasn't making inroads with his family. And I said, David, there's one thing that we've always spoken about we can do. Mate, we can agree to pray. And I said, I'll join you once a week. I pray for people in situations like this as a discipline on a Tuesday. Troubled people, I call it. And T for Tuesday, Trouble. I've got a whole grid. World, W, Thursday, Tasks, Friday, Family, all that sort of stuff. So that's how I pray. I said, I'll pray every Tuesday with you for Dad. And over time, let's see what God does. He said, okay. Now, it was just two or three years after that that I left that ministry in that church that had been such a fruitful ministry, and I went in 4 years of itinerant evangelism and consultancy and university work and travelling itinerantly all across our country and Southeast Asia. And to do that, you need people who'll stand with you. And I didn't ask, but people would offer and they would say, we'd like to support you. And a fellow called Matt Cameron was a farmer. And Mac said, I'll support you, I'll stand with you. Oh, great. And he was very faithful. He had a certain portion of his property that whatever he got out of the grain, he would put that into a bank account and then disperse to missions with his wife. And they felt led to support us. And we began to build relationship and journeyed a bit. Well, not long after I'd finished that, came to South Perth, Mac and his wife sold up their property and they moved to Albany. And in selling up their property, his burden was, I want to plant a church. And he wrote me again and said, how do I plant a church? And I sent him off some resources and stuff that might be able to help him and people to get in contact with. And he went down to Albany and he began to lay the foundations to plant a church. Meanwhile, I'm praying with David. David, any moves made? No, mate. See him across town at a seminar or an event. Dave, how are things going? No change as far as I know. Oh, let's keep praying. Let's keep agreeing. You see, God says when two or three agree on earth, something happens in heaven. A transaction's made in heaven, and then stuff happens on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. But it's not going to necessarily happen the way you envisage. Well, I'm teaching a church planting seminar here at Life Streams with Darren and a few others last year. And Matt Cameron's son had come from Busselton, where he's a leader in Cornerstone Church, and he'd come to the seminar to learn how to plant a church. Must be in the DNA. Because son is actually a school teacher, principal of a school, but very committed to reaching an unreached portion of the southern community down out of Busselton. And the church has caught a vision for that and they're behind whatever he wants to do. And we get talking and I never ever in my wildest dreams made the connection that he was Mac's son. And I hear the full orb story. And it's now been confirmed by David and others. You know what happened? Mac moved to Albany. David's father finished business and retired in Albany. Mac starts knocking on doors. One of the doors he knocks on is David's father. David's father begins to build relationship with this old farmer. Mac's a great guy and talked the socks off. You know, he's just a relational, gentle bloke and with a real love for people. And they two families become friends, and finally, David's dad accepts an invitation to go to a Bible study. 6 weeks after going to the Bible study, he gives his life to Jesus. 30-odd years. What's my role in that? Three conversations. No progress. Just agreeing with David that God would do a work in Dad's life and bring him to the Lord. He uses one of my supporters, son, others, brings all of these threads together. I get goosebumps. I've got them now as I tell you this stuff. I don't understand how all this comes together. All I know is if we have a heart for Jesus and we're prepared just to connect with people, you might think you're not accomplishing a lot. That's okay. You're playing your part in making disciples, in helping people move towards Jesus. And as you do, we'll see the kingdom grow. We'll see men and women come to know Christ when we bring all of our gifts and abilities together and see people respond to Jesus. And right now, even as I've been speaking, there are some of you who don't know Jesus yet and you're being drawn. That voice, maybe not Matt's, but that voice is actually speaking to you, saying, I want in. This is a loving community. This is a loving family. I'd like to get to know more about this Jesus, and we want to help you do that. That's our greatest privilege in life. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for your love for us. We love because you have lavished your love on us. And we thank you that you love us so wonderfully well. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help us to play our part as we go, as we holiday, as we live, as we drive, as we encounter people. Help us to have an ear that is attuned to your voice, and we respond and play the part you want us to play in helping people becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Help us to that end, Lord, I pray. And if you're speaking to any of us about our relationship with you, Lord, we're just asking this morning you'd give them the courage to speak to somebody and to make a move. Maybe they'd love to be prayed for. Maybe they just need to speak to someone or enter into a Bible study and learn more about Jesus. But Lord, draw us to yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to remind you, if you're visiting with us today, there's a special place out the back there that you can connect with some of our people, have a great coffee and learn a little more about our church life and the things that we love to do together. We love the opportunities that we have for prayer, and there's always an opportunity of a Sunday morning to come and speak to one of our team. Ordinary people, all of us, who just love to be able to pray with you and encourage you in your journey with the Lord. And if you've got special needs, healing, whatever, we'll anoint, we'll pray. We've seen God transform people's lives. Love to be able to share with you on that level. And tonight, of course, there is the prayer time opportunity. We encourage you to connect there. There's little cards you got in the community life. Feel free to share any information with us. And we've got our Klong Toy table there this morning. Opportunity to buy the special gifts, really reasonably priced. And they help the ministry in the slum of Klong Toy there. So if you've got a need for any little parties, whatever, coming up soon, grab some reasonably priced items and encourage that ministry. Don't forget, there's the opportunity to talk to Carly and Matt too about Older One and that great ministry. But thanks for being with us. If we can help, we'd love to pray for you. And will you thank the team who have helped me this morning as they've shared with you. God bless you.